So are you ready? It's at the very beginning. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now the church, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. We have it on the screens. This is a New King James. If you don't have that version, that's all right. There's a lot of good versions, but we have it up on the screen so you can follow us word for word. Acts chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there was a certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Crene, Simeon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there's these leaders in the church, they're teachers, and they're ministers. But then look what it says. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to us Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Did you see it? I don't see nothing. Let me show it to you. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, did you see it now? Pastor, I still don't see it. All right, I'll show it to you. And as they ministered to the Lord, as they ministered, these guys that are mentioned in verse 1, ministered to the Lord. And I thought, wait a minute. As I went back, I thought, oh, maybe I didn't read it right. Maybe they were ministering to the people. Because that's mainly what we think. Ministers minister to people, right? But that's not what it says. They weren't ministering to the people. They were ministering to the Lord. And in our mindset, we think, well, ministers minister to people. But I don't know if you've ever thought that part of what you're called to do is minister to the Lord. I want to show you some things in the Word. I want to ask you some questions tonight. Number one. What is our first ministry responsibility? What is our first? Make disciples. Okay, I don't know who said that. Wrong answer. See, and that's what, and listen, and I appreciate her boldness, and the truth is, most everybody would think, you know what, that that's our number one ministry. That we are called to make disciples. That's our ministry. We got to minister to the disciples. We got to make disciples. That's our number one ministry. After all, we got it right here up on the, you know, what do? We got it right up here on the wall. You know what? That's what we do at Hope. We make disciples. But can I tell you what? That is not our first ministry responsibility. Our first ministry responsibility is to minister to the Lord. And when I started meditating on this, I recognized, see, look, that's what they're doing. Now, when they ministered to the Lord and fasted. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The main thing that they did, the first thing they did, the most imperative thing that you do is minister to God. And people don't think about that. And most people in church, if they started to develop in their spiritual realm, in their spiritual life, if they started to grow, one of the first things that they do is they get involved in ministry at the local church. And it's important. It's really important. You know, you look at this church. After church, you know what? We used to all go to the taco truck. And the taco truck is, you know what, down the ways, and it's this truck at this gas station, and we'd go there, and you know what, and we'd eat some really good, authentic Mexican food. But now, we don't go to the taco truck anymore, amen? Because we don't have to go to the taco truck. Let me tell you, the taco truck is here, amen? Amen? And what's so cool is when we used to go to the taco truck, because here's what happened. We'd go to the taco truck, and some people would go to Denny's, and some people would go to Norm's. Some people would go to Tommy's. Some people would go to Wingstop. And you know what? And we're scattered all over the place. But now, we don't have to scatter all over the place. We can just eat quesadillas right here. And let me tell you what, as good as the taco truck is, you know what? These quesadillas are better. Amen? Amen? These tacos are better. You know what I mean? And the taco truck doesn't have spaghetti. Amen? We're going to have spaghetti. A good spaghetti. Like Italiano spaghetti. Good spaghetti. You know what? We had spaghetti. I was so embarrassed. We had spaghetti. I went home. I had just spaghetti all over my... It's like, what? What are you... But it was good. Amen? How does that happen? Here's how it happens. We have taught people that it's not just important that you come to church, but you are the church. And it's important that you be involved in some kind of ministry. I don't so much care what you do. I just care that you do something. Amen? You can say amen to this. You know, so it's not your deal. Because the mentality is, and we see it in Scripture, that God wants you to get involved, you know, and God wants you to be a part of the body of Christ, that you start to come to church, not just to get. I'm a preacher over here. Not to just get. But you come to receive, but you also come to give. Can we go a little deeper in this? Because here's the deal. Here's what I've noticed. And Cameron and I have been in ministry for, well, a long time. I know it doesn't look like we could be in ministry for a long time. You can say amen to that. But we've been in ministry for a long time. And here's what we have noticed. Here's what we've noticed. That people who come to church, and they come to church and come to church and come to church, and that's okay. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you're here in your first month or first 2 months or first 3 months. That's fine. But at some point in time, here's what happens. The sponge can't take any more in. And what it's designed to do is that sponge is designed to wring it out. And once you wring it out, then what happens? Then you can absorb more. What I've noticed is at some point in time, somebody who comes and all they do is come and they just come and they hear and they hear and they hear and they hear, their sponge is getting filled up. And at some point in time, true story, you're going to come to me and you say, Pastor, I'm smiling, right? Pastor, you're just not feeding me anymore. And here's the odd thing. You're right. But what it has to do with is I need you to ring out a little bit. Because you weren't designed just to take in. You and I were designed. God created all of us here to receive, but not just to receive, but to receive. And our life would be changed. And then we could then, you are blessed. How many blessed when you come to this church? Well, let me tell you why you're blessed. You're blessed because God loves you. He loves to bless his people. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Amen. But his design is to be a blessing to you because he loves you, but then he wants you to then be a blessing to someone else. And so today, I was blessed. I was so blessed because I went to, you know what, our taco truck without wheels. Actually, it has wheels, but doesn't have an engine. But we, but I'll tell you what, the quesadilla, delicioso. If you don't know what delicioso means, because you're not bilingual like myself, it means it was delicious. I mean, it was delicious. Okay. Why did that happen? Here's why that happened. Because people cared about being a blessing. Now, just so you know, that food isn't about anything except to give people an opportunity, two things, to hang out together and to help raise money for the youth center. But the main purpose isn't to raise money for the youth center. The main purpose is to get you to hang out together. Now, how many know, I don't care whether it's, you know what, making a coffee. You know what, we're so blessed when the worship team comes on Friday to practice. They practice every Friday. How many know, as good as musicians are, you got to practice. So they practice on Friday. But when they practice on Friday, Arlene, you know what, make sure we got, you know, latte polka and mocha latte and all the stuff. You know what, the spice, apple, cinnamon, you know, whatever. Right? So when you go back there, if you want, they have it. That, how many know that doesn't happen by accident? How many know Starbucks doesn't come on over here and just, you know what, make sure we have everything there? No, this happens by people. Now, I said all that to say, this is really important. You know what, every aspect, sound, the worship, the people watching your kids. How many have kids? You know what I mean? Okay, well, how many have kids? Raise your hand. You know what I mean? Well, let me know you're here not paying any attention to your kids. Right? Can I tell you why you're not paying any attention to your kids? Because we have people who are paying attention to your kids. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And thank God that those people, because listen, this is important. You're focused on what God's saying to you. You know, you're focused on the word because somebody is laying down their life, you know what, for you. They care enough to take care of your kids while so you could focus. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank you. And we're not just you know what, just making, you know what, just writing on the walls over there. Amen. Amen. No, let me tell you what, at this church, they're learning the word over there. Amen. Now, they're learning it in a way that's fun for them. Amen. How many used to be drugged to church? Amen. You know what? I talk to so many people. Well, you know, I invite them to church. Well, we're not going to church. Why won't you go to church? I hated church. Why? Because it was so boring. Not here. Amen. It's not, you know what? It's going to be not boring. It's going to be fun. Because you can teach the word to young kids. You can teach the word to kids in a fun way. But you better be conscious of doing it because it doesn't happen on accident. Amen? Amen? But here's what I'm saying. I say all that you would understand. It's important that people in the church understand that it's not just important that you receive, but that you serve. Now, having said all that, that's not even the most important thing that you do. It's not the number one ministry that you have. Can I tell you what the number one ministry that you have is? The number one ministry that you have is to the Lord. Saul was part of this list. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who went all over the place, ministered to so many people, set up so many churches. But can I tell you what? That wasn't his number one ministry. His number one ministry was to the Lord. Can I tell you what? If you're not involved in ministry, I encourage you, sign up. I encourage you, come here on Saturday. We start at 9:45. We finish at 12 o'clock. It's just 2 hours and 15 minutes. And hold a sign. Hold a sign? Yeah, hold a sign and on Whittier Boulevard and Durfee and just smile and wave. Amen? And that sign will say, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for your marriage. We want to pray for your kids. We want to pray for your job. We want to pray for you. And we have every Saturday people who see those signs. They come in. They're greeted by somebody. They drive to either the men's tent or the woman's tent, and they get prayed for. And then on the way out, they get a cookie and they get hot chocolate. Amen? Amen? But you know what? I need people to come and serve. And all I need to do is hold a sign. Because those people will see that sign. And they'll be. Can I tell you what? There's hurting people driving in our city every single week. Every single week. Imagine how hurting they have to be to see a sign that says drive through prayer. And without even knowing anything about our church, they're able to get off the road, come through a parking lot and say, pray for me. Amen. This is what's going on in my life. And we have people doing that every single week. Pastor, but that's not your main ministry. Your main ministry and my main ministry is to serve the Lord. Can I show it to you in the Word? You know it. You know it already. What is, my next question, what is the first and great commandment? See, there's a key right there. What's the first? So they asked Jesus. Jesus, you know what? Matthew, put it up here. Matthew chapter 23, verse 36. You know what? And they asked Jesus, what's the greatest? Let me get there. What's the greatest commandment? Yeah, that's not it. That's okay, I'll just quote it. So they ask him, they say, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Here's what he says. He says, they ask him, what's the great commandment? And here's what he answers. He says, here is the great and the first commandment. Here's what it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest. But we walk through life and we don't even recognize. You know what I mean? We think we're doing good if we are serving at church. And you are doing good if you're serving at church. But you know what? That's not the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest. The greatest thing that you would do is minister to Jesus Christ. And you think, how in the world can I minister to Jesus Christ? Are you kidding me? Understand who you are. You are the center of his affection. You're the apple of his eye. He knows every hair on your head. He's numbered them. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. God knows when you wake up. He knows when you go to bed. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're mad at somebody. He knows if you lost your job. He knows if you have marriage problems. And he knows and he hurts with you. He's absolutely so madly in love with you. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he not die on the cross? Why did he suffer? Everybody say suffer. You know what? Why did he suffer? Well, look, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Why did Jesus suffer? He's why. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Watch this. Next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that's your answer. Her for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father of God. Here's why Jesus suffered. He suffered for you. And he suffered for me. So, Pastor, how do I minister? Understand this. God wants is desperate. So desperate. Yeah. He sent his son, did he not? For God so loved the world. He is so madly in love with you that he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered, bled, died, was beaten. Here's why. Because he wanted to hang out with you. And before the cross, you know what? You know what? You got a sin problem. And that sin is going to separate you from God. And there's got to be without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. And all those animals that were sacrificed, none of them were enough. All those animals did was just, all they were doing was just a substitute for the perfect lamb that was going to come. That's all they were for. They were just a vision of looking forward to Jesus Christ. That's why they had to do it every single year. Because those animals weren't sufficient. But Jesus Christ was sufficient. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul's saying. He's saying everything. All this stuff I did. All the accolades, all the awards, all the high positions. Let me tell you about Paul. Paul, when he was in his secular life, he was very smart, very astute, very acclaimed, went to the best schools, sat underneath the best rabbis, you know what, was of a very prestige family. He was all this. But now he looks at it, and he looks at his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he says, let me tell you what, I count that all, it's all just rubbish. I count it all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered loss of all things, and count them all rubbish. Why? That I might gain what? Christ. Next verse. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, next verse, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed into his death. He says, all this stuff, here's what I do. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Say, Pastor, what? Okay, that's all good. What is the application to us? Can I tell you the application to you? To all of us. The application is, can I get real with somebody? Here's the application. Here's the question. In the last week, how much have you hung out with Jesus Christ? That's the application. Because here's what I'm saying. All the stuff that matters to you. And in the if this many people in the room, I guarantee you, there's all kinds of stuff that matter to you. Paul is saying, there was stuff that really, really mattered to me. But at some point in my life, see, I don't know where you're at. All I'm telling you, listen to what the heart of God is saying. All I'm telling you is at some point in your life, and I hope it's tonight, I hope that you're old enough, I hope that you're mature enough to recognize all that stuff is really, I'm smiling, right? I don't mean to offend anybody, but I do mean to be honest with you. All that stuff is really a total waste of time. Look what Paul does. Look what he says. Here's what I do. I count it rubbish. I used to think it was so important. Here's what I've done. I used to care about all this stuff. But now, you know what I really care about? I really care about just hanging out with Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've done both. And now I look back and I go, that is so great. Have you ever like valued something? And then you got a hold of something else and you recognized, oh my goodness, that was so silly what I used to think was so important. I'm asking, anybody? Right? That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, guys, and here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to us. Can we recognize that there's stuff in our life that we're doing? Maybe things that we're watching? I'm not trying to get in somebody's face. I'm just saying. Maybe relationships that are you know what, are just not good to have. Maybe watching things that we shouldn't watch. Maybe valuing things that we shouldn't value. And God is saying, hey, guys, your focus is in the, remember the Bible says that you know what, that our minds need to be set on things above, not things beneath. And here's the thing, because listen to me, somebody. Here's what we've thought. And it's wrong thinking. Here's what we thought. We thought it like this. We thought, oh, you know what? Hey, you know, we've resisted all in. And let me tell you why we've resisted that we're all in. We've resisted we're all in. Here's why. Because we have thought, you know what? If I'm all in, then I have to give up. Listen, let me tell you what. You do have to give up something. But you know what? If you had a banana and I had a $1,000 bill and I said, you got to give up that banana for the $1,000 bill. You know what? If there was, if this group over here, you know what? They all had bananas. You know what? And they said, no, I ain't giving up my banana. We'd look at them and would go, unbelievable. What are you thinking? You going to keep that banana? See, if we looked at it that way, you'd think these guys are, that's the crazy corner over there. Wouldn't you? That's what you think. Can I tell you what? I love you guys. You know what? I love you guys. For most of the body of Christ, it's not the crazy corner. It's the crazy churches. No. Listen, and here's why, because what we said is what was important. Here's what John writes. He says, do not love the world or the things of this world. We have said that this is valuable. And let me tell you what, at some point in time, I don't know when, but at some point, I guarantee you this, at some point in time, you are going to see that the most valuable thing is Jesus Christ. The only question is, when are you going to finally recognize that? And let me tell you this, Pastor, who are you talking to? If you're in this room, I'm talking to you. You know what? If you're watching me on Facebook, I love you guys. I'm talking to you. And can I tell you what? I'm not talking to you. God is talking to you. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this. I'm just saying, you know what? Church is about hearing from God. I read this week, and the Holy Spirit said, you got to teach people that the most important thing is that they spend time with Jesus Christ. And to do that, there's things that you are going to have to rearrange your schedule. I talk to people all the time and say, hey, you know what? This is really important. Oh, you got, Pastor, you got to understand my schedule. You got to understand my schedule. Oh my goodness. No, 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 no. No, no, no. No, no. Shh, shh, shh. Everybody be real quiet. No, no, no. Really? Really? No, 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 no. No, you know what we have to do? We've got to get a hold. Because let me tell you what, the sooner that you get a hold of this, the better your life is going to be. The sooner you get a hold of this, the better your life's going to be. Because let me tell you about God. His commandments are not burdensome. And Paul catches this at some point in time in his life. And he was doing this, and he was doing that, and he was doing this. And listen to me. I'm not talking about people. I know, the Holy Spirit knows who we're talking to. I'm not talking about people who aren't coming to church. I'm talking about people coming to church. Amen? Just, you know, they're just getting ready to serve, but you stay with me because the Holy Spirit wants to finish this up. So just so you know what? I'm not talking about, because here's what you can do. You know what? And here would be one of the saddest things that ever happened. If you go through your life and you're faking Christianity, and you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and here's why. Here's why you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Because in your mind, you think you don't want to give up the banana. I'm smiling, right? All eyes up here. Here's what I'm telling you. Guys, it's a banana. It's a banana. You know what Jesus Christ says? Jesus Christ, before he dies, he's on the hill looking over Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, here's what you've done. My Father sends you the prophets, and you won't listen to them. You kill the prophets. And all me and Dad wanted to do is just have you come close to us and to hold you close. How many watch the Passion? Go ahead, put that up on the screen. How many watch the Passion of the Christ? Okay. Do you know? Listen to me. Pastor, that's so gross. No, listen. We need to see that. Because you know what the Passion, you know what the Passion of the Christ is? It's his passion. You know what that's about? That's about you. He was so passionate for you that that's what he went through. Here's what I'm telling you. That thing that you're holding on to, maybe it is a relationship. And that guy's like, let me tell you what, I love you. And you know what? And you've crossed all kinds of lines, you know what, sexually, that you haven't crossed, that you weren't supposed to. You know what? And so listen to me. And emotionally, you're so tied in with this guy now. And you think he's your life. And he won't marry you. He says, hey, baby, I don't got to marry you. You know, that's not love. I love you, baby. Let me tell you what's up. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Yeah. Yeah, and hello. Am I speaking the truth? You know what I mean? And you need to stand up and say, let me tell you what. Listen, Christ has died for me, and I've done stupid things, but today I'm giving up my banana because you know what? Because listen, me and Christ, you know what? He is going to, listen, he's going to take it. Yeah, but you know what, Pastor? But we have kids together. Okay, I don't know what you're going to do about that. You know what I mean? Amen. I don't know what you're going to do about that, but here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what? That's what Christ did for you. And let me tell you what, if you hook up with Jesus Christ, Listen, and that goofball, he's not past redemption either. Oh, you could shout it. You could shout amen to that. He's not past redemption. You know what? You might be exactly what he needs. Amen. Tamara and I weren't living together, so don't go there, okay? But you know what? When I was leaving Newport Beach, because God had called me to move back in with my parents in El Monte, and everybody thought I bumped my head or something, because I lived in Newport Beach, you know what? And I told her, hey, you know what? I'm doing this. She was like, see you later, alligator. And I told her, you do what you're going to do, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. She says that was a pivotal point in her mind, because you know what I was? I was glorifying God with my works. And it caused her to see Jesus in a whole different light. You know, maybe God is going to restore that man to you, but he's going to come back to you as a godly man. And those kids that you have, listen, they don't need a daddy that puts NFL in front of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, are you saying the NFL is like demonic? I'm not saying it's demonic. I'm just saying, you know what? That when you put that in front of Christ, here's what I'm saying. Don't put anything in front of Christ. Don't put a relationship in front of Christ. Listen to me, I'm preaching to somebody. Don't put a schedule in front. Well, Pastor, but I can't. No, at least be honest with yourself. At least say, I choose not to. Say, I don't want to. Well, ouch, but at least you'll know where you're at. Isn't that better? At least you'll say, you know what? I'm crazy, but I want my banana. Yeah, and then I'll say, oh my goodness. And you could have had Jesus Christ? Yeah, but Pastor, I do all this stuff. But I've done this. I've done, Pastor. And he says, depart from me. Because let me tell you about you. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I want God to know who I am. I want God I want to hang out with Jesus. You know who I like hanging out with? I like hanging out with my wife. Amen. Amen. I thought about saying something. I'll say it like this, because she is very pretty. Just for the Facebook people. But that wasn't what I was going to say. And she's very smart. But can I tell you what? I like hanging out with Jesus more than I like hanging out with my wife. Somebody like, oh, should we say amen to that? Yeah, you can say amen. She'll say amen to that. Did you learn something tonight? See, we got it. You know what? Listen, that's the passion. That's the passion of the Christ. What Mel Gibson was saying is, listen, he was so passionate for you that he went to the cross. And I'm just saying, you know what, guys, please understand this. It's not a, make sure your Christian life, just change it. Because if it's a have to, you have no idea how awesome Christ is. Let me tell you what my life is. It's a get to. It's a want to. It's a God's commandments are not burdensome. Amen.